There's two different things that I really used to create this program. Now, these two kind of philosophies, I'd like to say, is the power trio, which is the relationship between your ankle, knee, and hip instability and muscle building and how that works together to eliminate pain, and also a 360-degree strengthening regimen. And what I mean by that is almost like strengthening the knee from a whole 360-degree angle. Because, you know, when you're dealing with pain, a lot of people don't realize this. Say you're having pain on the inside of your knee. A lot of times that pain is coming from the outside muscle being weak.
Right.
So it's almost how the body works in opposites. Really, what you need to do is you need to attack everything from that mentality where, okay, if one thing is weak, then the other thing is acting up.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one strength and health authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Welcome to the Strong by Design podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. A new episode lands every week on Wednesday. If it's not Wednesday, but you're listening, then great, because you can listen any day of the week here on Strong by Design, but we do release one new episode weekly and sometimes two a week, and we have well over 300 past episodes now, so there's a lot for you to go back and listen to if you're a brand new listener to the show. We talk about all things body, mind, and spirit. We really do. We go off in kind of all directions, and it's funny how it lands. It's almost like a third, a third, and a third. A third are like holistic health, a third are strictly like fitness and muscle building, and a third are really like faith and family. And so it's really nice because we have a blend of hosts that we can kind of tackle the big issues of the day, things that people are thinking about. And we just love talking about it and being able to share these conversations with experts in their field. And so we have as much fun as hosts, myself, Jared, Mike, and Tanya. We have as much fun hosting as we hope you do listening. So it's really been just such a blessing now in our sixth season. So thank you for being a fan of the show and a supporter of the show. If you haven't yet hit 5 stars or given us a review, please do that for us because that really helps. I love going in and reading those. So our amazing guest today, Mr. Christopher Ochinski, a critical bench, he's a contributor. He has been for over a year now. He's been in our YouTube content. He is now part of a product of ours, which is helping people. And it's so great to finally, for the first time, have him on the podcast. Welcome, Mr. Chris.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Excited to be here. Excited to be here.
I love it, man. I usually love to see you with the glasses on. It's so it really adds to your, the maturity and the wisdom and all the things that we're hoping to glean from you today. You know,
I'm harnessing my inner Superman vibes right now.
Yeah, you are. You're Clark Kent, if you will, right now.
You're Clark Kent. Change it to my gym stuff, and I'll just rip it off.
I can't wait, man. It's gonna happen. So, Chris, to let you know what he's been doing over the past couple decades, his life's purpose has been devoted to the realm of healthcare with a strong commitment to serving others, as we do here at Critical Bench. He started years ago as an emergency medical technician, or EMT, at a level one trauma center, and that marked the beginning of his journey. And it was a role of great significance that really, for him, unveiled the vital value of being a beacon of aid and positivity for those requiring care and support. He's gone on to become a nationally licensed and certified athletic trainer specializing in sports medicine. He's going to tell us a bit more about that, obviously. And his journey has led him eventually to us here at Critical Bench, which is so exciting. He is actually the brother of our video production specialist, Mr. Stephen Ochinski Jr., who has also been on the podcast in the past, but he is one of our video editors and the man behind the camera making things happen. And we found out one day in conversation, probably well over about a year and a half ago that his brother was into muscles building and training and fitness and stuff. And where I'm like, at what capacity? Like, does he work in the business? You know, he's like, yeah, he's an athletic trainer. I'm like, oh, well, that's amazing. And it just so happened months later, we had a need for somebody to help with content, to filling in video description for all of our YouTube videos and to maybe write some articles for us. And Chris was very interested and he's been doing it ever since. And it's been wonderful. And then we said, hey, he's the perfect guy to help us with this new program that we have ideas about. And he jumped in on it. So we're going to dive into all that today. But Chris, from your lips, I want to know more about your journey, stuff that I don't know from a young age. What kind of inspired you to get into physical fitness, into exercise, into helping others?
Yeah, it's so funny that we're talking about this because, you know, when we said we were going to do this podcast and talk about ageless knees and stuff like that, I started just kind of really reliving kind of what has gotten me to this point, which is funny because there's just so many things. Like when you end up somewhere, you don't realize how many little steps you've actually taken to kind of get where you are to develop that full picture. And when you said when I was a kid, I always liked athletics. I loved to play sports. I played all sports in high school. There wasn't one that I really liked more than anything. You know, I started off, you know, I played football, I played baseball, I played soccer, volleyball, tennis, I swam. I did almost every sport, which is crazy, even unheard of now. As an athletic trainer, like everybody's so specialized. Yes. I never wanted to do that. I just loved them all. So, you know, and as an athlete, you're bound to get hurt. And I think that is one of the main things that was like, once I first got hurt and I needed to kind of ask for that help. When you're a kid, you don't need help. You normally, you just recover. And really that first time that you ask for help where you're like, wow, like I really need somebody else's help. Like this isn't getting better. That was really my first time where I was like, wow, healthcare is really cool. Like one person's advice and one person's words can really change the way in which you feel. Like you could really be a superhero to one person just by having one piece of advice. And I really ran with that. So yeah, I became an EMT. I was an EMT for a while. I was working in a level one trauma center. And you really, with that job in particular, I really learned how much people are just looking, like when you're in a bad situation, you really just are looking for hope and just yes. something and somebody.
Yeah.
And that really, really drove home the issue for me where there's just so many sick people out there that need help. And they need you. And I always just wanted to be that person. So when I got to school, I became that person. So when I was studying to be an athletic trainer, all of my good friends were, you know, business or marketing, hotel restaurant management, all these other fields. And I was in the healthcare field. So whenever anybody got hurt or had this little issue, which is funny in college, I don't know about you in college, but like we were a little bit crazy. We were having some fun and everybody was hurting themselves and wrestling after, you know, a couple of drinks, whatever. And it was always like, if somebody got hurt, guess who was being called? It was me. And I absolutely loved that. And I think that's really kind of what started me. And what's funny is actually the first positive ACL test that I was able to do, I was like 18, 19 at like a buddy's party. Do you know
what I mean? Oh my
like,
gosh.
They were wrestling around. The kid blew his knee out and they were like, we need somebody's help. And I was there. And I always thought that was so cool because it almost made me feel like a celebrity. Do you know what I mean? Like all that training and stuff, I finally was able to be that person that like your friends can call. And I think that's really what started me to get into this field.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, so you had a knack for sports and physical activity from a young age and doing all the different, you know, from swimming to football to baseball, et cetera. And yeah, I was very much the same way, just interested in movement and a competition and also the side effect of like looking good, you know, which always felt nice, you know, because it's
being uniform,
right? As a boy, we're always looking for that that attention and stuff from like, you know, from the other side. And so that was working in our favors, I'm sure. So that's great. And you're in high school, basically after high school, during college, going through this, and EMT, what's an incident or an accident or a situation that you were involved with that maybe sticks out for you? Because I think people are intrigued by these first first responders and what they're able to deal with. Because I know for myself and for a lot of other people, that my wife is different because she's actually a registered nurse. So she loves disgusting stuff. I do not. It kind of turns my stomach and it makes me feel weak, like to see somebody else in major distress or with a major injury. What's something that sticks out for you for something that was like, you came on the scene and you were like, whoa, this is big, or this is heavy, or this is a lot for me?
It's tough to say. So like I ran on the ambulance for a little bit, but most of my time as an EMT, I actually spent in a level one trauma center. So what they do is there's EMT, ER techs. And what we do is we work alongside the nurses and we're pretty much their aid for anything and everything. And I think in my personal experience, it's so funny. I get that question a lot. Like what's something right, that sticks
like
out?
Like a knife in the head, or like, I mean, anything that you were dealing with there. I mean, obviously, yeah. So you were on the scene of the accident, but what's something that you were maybe helping someone with in that recovery process?
No, that's what's funny is like, I get that question all the time. And my reply to that is always like, well, what is it to you that's crazy? Do you know what I mean? So have there been people that come in with bullet wounds in their heads and like, they're asking me to stick my fingers in their head to stop the bleeding? I've done that before. Have people come in with both of their femurs sticking out of their kneecaps, almost like two bones just sticking there looking at me? That's happened to me before too.
Okay, so that would be like, for me, that would be like a deal break for me. Like I'd be like, oh, I think I like this work. And then I'd look over and see two femurs and be like, no, I think I'm going home, because that would make me sick to my stomach.
I think what's funny is when you start working in that field and you're around all those same people, it just becomes, you just become numb to it. You know what I mean? Somebody's got to do it. And you know, those people, there's heroes that answer that call every day.
Yeah, you're
I'm not
right.
in the yard, but they just do that. Do you know what I mean? That's what they sign up for. And you know, and somebody has to be there, and those people need top quality care and they get it, you know?
That's amazing.
But I would say that those two things that probably stick out to me for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Finger in a bullet hole wound anywhere on the body, but the head would be really frightening. And then, yeah, like those are called compound fractures when the bone comes through the flesh, right? With like,
well, actually, it wasn't actually a break. So the person was sleeping with their feet, their legs bent up on the dashboard, so that when, so like, say if their feet are like this, like this is their like feet, this is the femur and this is the tibia area. And when the impact hit, the dashboard shoved the tibia back, shooting the femur up through like the front of the knee, and both of their knees were like that. So that was definitely probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Gosh, that makes me want to vomit right now. Yeah. Oh, I didn't expect that. That's what an odd, so what an
super
odd thing. So this is like someone at night driving, either drunk or fell asleep at the wheel, and this is the passenger.
The passenger seat.
The passenger who was probably just in a restful position. Bad position.
What the funniest part about that situation, well, not funny, but what the craziest thing to me was, in a situation like that, you would expect there just to be blood everywhere and it to be really, really gross. It almost looked like two Flintstone bones to me, like just perfectly white, nothing really on them, no meat, no bones, no ligaments, just like they literally looked like two, like you would see in a cartoon.
Oh my gosh, dude. So
it's
bizarre.
Kind of funny to think like that. So bizarre. Okay. So bizarre, but definitely really cool and life-changing when you see something.
Just
like that.
So when someone else, because you're going to get that question again in your life, oh, you were an EMT. What's the grossest or what's the most, you know, difficult thing you ever faced? So you know, that's your answer. Like, you don't have to struggle with like, I'm not never sure how to answer that. Like, that's it. That's what people want to hear. Like, I saw two femurs shoot out of someone's knees. Like, you know, that's okay. Yep. That's it. That's what I was going for there. Oh my gosh.
I know it's going to sound crazy, but when you are an EMT, that might not be the craziest thing.
Right.
I just can't think of it right now. Do you know what I mean? There's just like every day you would see, I don't know, 20, 30 things like that. And it's like, all right, on to the next.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's crazy. Well, and before we get too derailed, because I obviously have a lot more to talk with you about today, but this is always intriguing. And I know there's people on the other side that are like, I want to hear more. There's a very close friend of my brother's, Rob, who is also an EMT, but he's a, you know, first responding EMT, like on the scene, right? And what he has said and what everyone needs to hear and know, and what most people probably know, but not to this degree, that seatbelts are 100% necessary in the car to avoid like the catastrophic injuries that he's seen. When he's been on an accident scene, he's like almost like nearly 100% of the time, if the person in the front was not wearing their seatbelt, they are flung from the car and they are dead. Like it's not even, they don't even have a chance. He said this seatbelt is what saves your life. This seatbelt will absolutely save your life because of what he has witnessed himself for years and years and years and years. And so like, this is not, I don't make any money from like this seatbelt industry, but I'm just saying like, it's not even an option. Like,
wear your seatbelt.
Just 6 to 7. For your kids, for anybody, like just put it on, who cares? Like it will absolutely be the game changer if there is an accident. And most of us are good drivers, but it's the other guy that's an idiot. You know, or there's a miss, you know, you're a good driver, but you fall asleep because you're overtired or overworked, you know? So I've caught myself many times driving at night, like late and getting woozy and like being like, what am I doing? Like pull over or, you know, take a cat nap until you're feeling more restful. Like it's too dangerous. Not worth it.
Cars are definitely extremely, extremely dangerous.
Oh, I mean, that's probably the number one cause for a lot of that work. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously there's all the other stuff, but car accidents would probably be number one reason why people are in trauma situations. Now that we got that in the rearview mirror, so to speak, that the gross part of the conversation today, what transitioned you from that line of work to, you know, while you were doing that, you were working on your certification as an athletic trainer? Is that what happened? Or
yeah, I was working and just kind of looking around. You know, it's funny, after college, it was just a confusing time for a lot of people, or even like around that 2022. I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. Do you know what I mean? So as I started working, I got that experience as an EMT. I became such a strong, I feel like it just built my confidence a lot. And I knew that I just wanted to keep helping people. I wanted to do more. And really what I like to do, which is funny because Critical Bench and my athletic training job now helped me, is I want to be able to help a lot of people, not just one person that's sitting in front of me. I want to be able to give people advice that's going to help them for a long, long time and that they can use. So when I became a trainer, that's what I did. I wanted to start doing sports medicine and helping kids. I really wanted to be that person that can guide kids in assessing their injuries and being able to heal themselves and just giving them the tools to succeed. So that's pretty much what I wanted to do. So I searched around my area and I found an awesome job. I work at Whitehall Copley School District, which is in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I absolutely love it. I have the opportunity to do awesome things. One of the few things that I wanted to do is I just like trying to help people in mass. So what I've been able to do is I've really liked foam rolling and using bands and stuff and trying to incorporate little things like that into their lifestyle to start teach people young so that they can avoid injuries and avoid going through the emergency room down the line. And that's really something that I am really passionate about.
Yeah, that's the prehabilitation, which I remember being such a significant part of my learning, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was really getting into all of this myself. And going to conferences and other workshops in person and the foam rolling and the stability ball work and all this stuff that was called prehab. And it was like, you know, it was like kind of more of a new concept where it was like, do a lot of the things that people are doing in rehab centers with physical therapists after they've sustained injuries. But the key is if you do it ahead of it, before the injury arises, the body doesn't necessarily have to sustain that injury. It can kind of overcome it. It kind of puts up the protective shield, if you will, or that, you know, that your body is in a much better situation. That's how a lot of these trainers today, or trainers, but also athletes, how they're it's incorporated into their programming and their training is a lot of this prehabilitation stuff, rather than just all the big lifts that we see all the time.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important to start young, because you're building those habits. You're building those habits and building that strength. That's another thing too. When you work in the emergency room, you see people come in for the dumbest things. And we wonder why healthcare is so expensive. It's like, you're coming to the emergency room because you have like a muscle strain. Do you know what I mean? Like, with good education and proper habits, you could avoid that couple $1,000 bill in the emergency room if you kind of just taught that person from a young age, like, listen, like, this is what your problem is. You could foam roll or you can stretch and you will get better, and you can ice and rest, and there's things you could do at home. You don't have to go to a doctor and run up a healthcare bill for no reason when you can pretty much fix it yourself. And that's another thing too that's so important when you're starting kids young with foam rolling and stuff like that, is you're teaching kids the proper way to go about these things instead of just going right to the doctor for kind of no reason.
Yeah, it's a great point to make, because so many people out there, certainly not a lot of our listeners probably, because they're more in tune and they probably do have a better sense of their physical fitness level and what the body should feel like. What's an injury? What's a strain? What's something that needs a doctor? What's something I need to kind of contend with myself and knowing their limits and stuff? But so much of the kind of general population, they have such an inferior or lack of understanding of their own physical well-being. Like, they just don't know where they're just like clueless, really. It's kind of like getting some new technology, right? You know, and you don't read the manual. And then you're just trying to like figure out how to use it without reading through like that nice thick pamphlet or book that comes with it. It's like, dude, I mean, if people just indulged a little bit more in their own mechanics and how their body operates and functions and stuff, and the importance of hydration and the importance of whole foods and the importance of daily movement and activity, it's like, it's really basic knowledge as far as I'm concerned. But so many people just go push right past it, it seems, because they're just...
And it's so important, too.
More important.
It's your own body. You should know it. It's so funny. We should be teaching it in school. I'm not sure why that's not like personal, just regular. It's called self-care. Do you know what I mean? Taking care of yourself. We should be teaching that more in school, I personally think. But we just don't. And I think that's what's funny about athletic training is like, when somebody comes to me like, listen, my neck is killing me. I don't know what to do. For me, it's easy. How about you get a little tennis ball, roll it out against the wall, I don't know, stretch, and they make it seem like you're a magician, like you're fixing them completely. And like, that's another thing that I love too, is like, just these small little things that you could do on your own. You don't need to go to the doctor. You will feel 100% better. And not only that, you will feel like you can fix yourself, which is also really good for you. I mean, you don't need somebody else.
Yeah, so yeah, you gotta invest in yourself like that. You have to invest in yourself.
For sure.
So you've been doing this work now for how long? For, geez, like a decade or more?
I would say 10 years. I'm saying 10 years, man. I'm getting old. So 10 years.
Oh, yeah, you're getting up there, bro. You're in the 30s, man, right? You know?
In the 30s. I'm an old man.
No gray in the beard, though, yet, which is nice.
I got a couple.
Oh, there's a few?
There's a few in there, for sure.
There's a few in there, yeah. Your brother's got a lot more than you, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
But he wears it well. I mean, that guy, you're like him. He can grow a beard. He can shave. And by the end of the day, he's got a better, more growth than I have right now.
He had a full beard at like in eighth grade.
Oh, he's ridiculous. He's the guy I was jealous of in middle school. Because like I didn't have like much hair anywhere, you know, and then the guys are always sizing each other up, you know, seventh, eighth grade when we're going through puberty and stuff. And you always look at the guy that's got like more of a beard than the teacher, hairy legs, hairy armpits, and you're like, man, that's a man. You know, it's like, no, his name's Luke. I had a guy in school. I haven't uttered his name in years. His name was Luke Blanco, and he had a full beard. Full, like as thick as yours in like eighth grade, like a beautiful thing. And everyone would marvel at it. Even teachers, I think, probably just quietly. I don't think they would have told him. But this is just a fun side tangent. I love, we talked about funny before.
I'm down.
A past episode, but we did Jared and I with Kirk Cameron who Kirk Cameron, you know, from Growing Pains growing up, and is a pretty famous guy and does some great stuff. He's doing stuff with children's books and outspoken Christian and family values and stuff. It's great. We hit record, but it wasn't part of the actual podcast. And we're talking about facial hair and beards and stuff and just joking on. And he's the one that brought it up because it's just fun to talk about. Yeah, you know, we're just guys. We like talking about facial hair and.
We got it. Might as well talk about
it. That's right. That's right. Jared's rocking the mustache. So I always love talking about his mustache.
North. I gotta grow the beard out to stay warm, you know?
Yeah, no, well, you're up in the colder part of the, you know, down here in Florida, I can wear a tank top virtually 360 days a year because there's like 5 days where it's a little too chilly. But, you know, up there in Pennsylvania, yeah, I mean, it's...
I'm in the mountains. It's about to be, you know, 20 degrees soon.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Of course, that's also has its benefits, and I like that. I like that weather now and again. So let's get into the nitty gritty here. Let's get into this. So I forget how far back it was, and I think we positioned it as something that we thought you'd be a great spokesperson for, and to really be able to utilize your history of working with people, understanding of the body, and knowing that, you know, knees are obviously a huge limiting factor, let's say, in physical performance, especially as we age. You know, they're sore, they're tight, they're weak, and you know, people aren't moving as they should or don't know what to do. And instead of trying to go at it head on and kind of tackle like what's wrong, they kind of start moving less, and we're, you know, working around the issue instead of like dealing with it. So you just loved this idea, and I don't know who coined it, ageless knees, but somebody did, and then it just kind of stuck, and you just started writing and digging into it and coming up with programming for it using your athletic training background, how people can, you know, take control of themselves, of their knees, and the painful, weak situation that they were dealing with, you know, really stopping them from moving more in life and bringing it into their home, basically creating a rehab situation in their own home that they can do themselves. So let's talk a little bit about that, like just kind of how you came to, you know, putting this all together and what that looked like.
Yeah. First of all, I love the opportunity. It's something that I like to do. I do it every day and I have fun doing it. And really the way that I wanted to start the program was I wanted to give people the tools, not just the haves, but the why. Why are you doing this? So really at the beginning of Ageless Knees, I really wanted to really educate the reader as to what is going on in their body and how they can fix it. So really, I like to think of like Ageless Knees almost like a beginner's guide to knee pain. And I think that that is pretty much how I modeled the book and the program itself. You know, I want the reader to be able to know what's going on in their knee. I want them to know the ligaments and the muscles and what is a meniscus and how does that work? How does the ankle affect the knee? How does the hip affect the knee? And how is it all together and how it works as a unit? And how you can kind of look at yourself, because everybody's totally different. Everybody's knee pain is totally different. Even though it's in the same spot, it could be coming from a different area. And even with knee pain too, sometimes you'll have it on one side and then on the other side. So really you need to know while you're doing these rehabs, why you're doing it. So that's really kind of how I modeled the whole program itself. It starts off, you know, we get into basic anatomy. You're going to learn about the knee and really that whole lower chain and how it operates. And then we kind of dive into more advanced type stuff as it goes through.
Yeah, I love the fact that you saw it as an opportunity to educate people, not just obviously give them, here, do this for 10 minutes a day, do this for 15 minutes, you know, every day or whatever for your painful knee. It was, this is how you do it, but this is why you're doing it. And this is how you can kind of get past where you're at. And that's what we like to do here at Critical Bench, is present simplistic, I like to call them like routine, I guess just routines or flows that target a certain area of the body that people can easily incorporate into their lives and see results very quickly. Because all of us are strapped for time. None of us, it was going to stick to anything complicated or challenging, because this just doesn't kind of sit well with most of us, unless you're like a hardcore type person. And there are some people out there like that who will participate in a very, you know, an exhaustive type programming, workout programming, and really follow through in it. Most people will not. They will throw in the towel within a matter of weeks or a month if it's just too much or too demanding. So we kind of toe that line of, here's something that's extremely effective, but that you can drop into your life without kind of throwing your life out of whack. And that's, I think, what's so appealing about it, because this does work. This will work if you do it. But it doesn't take, it takes like seven minutes and a knee, right?
Yep.
So if you did, and so go into a little bit more detail about kind of like what this flow looks like. What makes this special? Like, what are you doing in these 7 minutes on one knee to help get results and to help people recover from maybe long-term trauma that they've been dealing with, or short-term stuff where they're maybe the knees suddenly just acting up on them?
Of course. So first thing, you know, knee pain can be so many different things, right? So designing a one-size-fits-all knee pain is difficult, but I do believe that I did it. So what's tough about it is you really need to think of the knee for two. There's two different things that I really used to create this program. Now, these two kind of philosophies, I'd like to say, is the power trio, which is the relationship between your ankle, knee, and hip instability and muscle building and how that works together to eliminate pain, and also a 360-degree strengthening regimen. And what I mean by that is almost like strengthening the knee from a whole 360-degree angle. Because, you know, when you're dealing with pain, a lot of people don't realize this. Say you're having pain on the inside of your knee. A lot of times that pain is coming from the outside muscle being weak.
Right.
So it's almost how the body works in opposites or like antagonists. So really what you need to do is you need to attack everything from that mentality where, okay, if one thing is weak, then the other thing is acting up. And what's funny too is sometimes even worse opposite, where like if you hurt your calf, it'll start working its way up, and then your hip hurts and then your back hurts. And when you're connected to the ground and you're walking, everything works its way up the chain. So when you're strengthening, you need to strengthen everything. And that's kind of where this whole Ageless Knees program started, because I really have a program that's going to build you up from the ground up, from ankle to knee, 360 degrees around the whole knee. So we're really kind of, we're targeting everything to strengthen that whole lower chain. And really, you're going to feel better if you buy into it and you believe it, it will work. With another thing too is so funny about rehabilitation is so many people, the doctor will say, you got to go do these exercises and you'll get better. And without knowing why, they just stop. But this is a program where if you do it consistently, it will work. I promise you'll feel better, you'll feel stronger. But really, that's the philosophy. So we're going the power trio from hip, knee, ankle, how those work together, and then that 360-degree strengthening of everything is going to make you feel better and going to alleviate some pain and make you better on your feet.
Yeah, I love that, man. It's really, really good. And obviously, I was part of the, you know, kind of overseeing the project as a kind of, my role here at Critical Bench is VP of content. I oversee all content in the company. Everything that goes out there, I in some way was involved with it, from the beginning to the end stages. And so this was exciting for me to kind of be involved in seeing your work, reading through everything, and learning some stuff myself. And really kind of, you put it out there in such an easy to understand way. So it's not over people's heads, which I think, you know, that's another thing. People are intimidated by certain types of education or information. And it's like, oh man, this is going to be like, these concepts or whatever are going to be kind of too deep or whatever. But I don't think so at all. I think it's your language is very much like what you just said. I think it's very easy for people to dive into your handbook and then to understand the reasoning and the methodology behind everything that they're doing. And the other thing I love here at this company is falls so in line with like how I like big picture stuff. Our bodies are not meant to just take two Advil every day for the rest of our lives. Like that's not good. That's like, that makes you an addict. Like I'm addicted to coffee. Yes. And I put my hand up on that, but I don't drink coffee because it's helping me like overcome an injury or overcome pain or I like the way it tastes. And yeah, and it gives me a little kick in the morning, you know, a little boost or whatever. Call me what you will, a coffee addict or a coffee enthusiast, but our bodies are not meant to be taking prescription drugs and medications like for life. Certainly there's moments in life where there's certain times where we maybe need to be on that stuff, or we have certain, you know, illnesses or disease that's been diagnosed and we're treating that. And I'm not telling you to flush all your stuff out. I'm just saying the over-the-counter stuff is just gotten out of control, I think, in our country and possibly globally, but where people are just pill poppers and that's their way of dealing with things. That's their way of overcoming things. And no, the way to overcome is not to just put Band-Aids on gashes. It's to go in and fix the problem. It's to sew that problem up, and so your problem or your program is solving that problem by going to the root cause of where the knee pain's originating from and solving that problem. And now I don't need Advil anymore because my knee's not bothering me. It's like, yeah, because your knee's strong now and you have balanced strength from ankle to hip.
It's so funny you say that. Everybody wants that quick fix.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Right.
The quick pill, the quick 1 minute thing that's going to solve all your problems. One thing that's so funny is, so I forgot who told me, it was like, nothing comes easy. Nothing that you want is going to come with just a pill or something very simple like that. And that's why everybody fails at therapy. That's why your knees hurt. You haven't actually dedicated yourself and understand why you need to take the 15 minutes and do this strengthening. That's what is the key. You're going to get what you put into it. So if you think that just taking the pill is going to give you the positive results, it's just not going to happen. You need to make that commitment to yourself and your mind and make that mind-body connection to say, hey, this is what we're going to do to get better, and you will get better. So I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. More so much. Because I see kids all the time. It's like, I want to feel better, but you're not doing anything to help yourself. And that's just a kid. Now imagine an adult who's been doing that for 40, 50 years. Very difficult to change their ways. But hopefully, if you believe in it and you look into this program, it's going to help you. And I promise it will help you.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I agree with you there, because it doesn't matter what stage you're at. If you're in your 20s or 30s dealing with knee issues or knee pain, or if you're in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, these movements and this, and it comes with something kind of special. Tell them about the miracle massage wand that is a little bit of the, yeah, because no doubt they're gonna do a little research after listening to this if they're interested in helping their knees to feel better. So tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in the program, we're going to include the Miracle Massage Wand, which is basically a handheld e-stim unit. So if you've ever had like electric stim on your muscles before, really what it does is, you know, your muscles contract via electricity. Now, normally that electricity comes from your brain down your nervous system. But what this e-stim unit can do is you could take this handheld unit, and we kind of go over it in the program. We show you how to use it and where to put it. What you do is you place the tip of the e-stim unit up and down the thigh quad muscles. And what you can do is reactivate those muscles and bring those muscles to life, those dormant muscles that may have not been firing or if you're sitting down all the time and not using them, you know, with this device, we're able to activate that muscle via electricity with the current of the eSTIM unit without your brain using it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to say, oh, I need to bend this knee. This machine will do it for you. And we're going to start jumpstart those muscles to get them going before you even start the program. So you're going to be using muscles you probably haven't used in years, potentially, or you haven't gotten that full contraction because you're kind of living a dormant life. You know, most people sit down 50 to 60% of their day, which is really not how humans were meant to live. We were meant to move. We were meant to squat. We were meant to walk. So, you know, this eSTIM unit is just that extra little step for all those people that need that extra help. And, you know, I think a lot of people need all that help. So we want to give you the most tools possible for your recovery and, you know, successful, healthy knees.
One of the simplest and truest things I've ever heard in the world of fitness and health is, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And we actually have an episode with Tani and I from years back where we talked about that very same thing. And it's honestly, it's one of the truest sentiments ever. If you don't use a second language, you will lose it. You'll lose the ability to speak that second language. If you stop riding a skateboard after 10 years old and you go to get on it at 30 or 40, you will feel like you never did it once in your life. Maybe riding a bike is one of the very few things that I think, if you can ride a bike, you can always ride a bike. But I feel like just about any other thing in life, like if you stop weight training and go 10 years, you're going to be starting from day one, pretty much. If you don't use it, you will lose it. And the same thing goes with stimulation. That's what nerves are. They are the carriers. They're the messengers from the brain that is the conductor of our body to all of the different muscles and areas. And when things are underutilized or not utilized at all, they go to sleep. They go dormant. They shut off. They are weak. They are tight. And what your program's doing is saying, hey, here's a tool that I can use besides just my brain to actually force these nerves to wake up and to fire these muscles that have been sleeping sometimes for decades, and to start to bring some life back into these areas. And as you said, that 360 degree approach from hip to ankle as well. So it's like, yeah, man, we're not just trying to strengthen the knee per se. We're trying to strengthen the whole lower body, the whole leg. And that's what's going to make your knee feel better. In very simplistic, easy to do exercises that you don't need any equipment for, which is great.
In your living room, it's very easy with modifications. If you can't do things, you know, there's so much involved. There's so much in there.
Yeah. It's really a terrific thing that you've put together, that's, you can feel good about what you've done, what you've accomplished, and how it's helping people. Like that, again, that's what we do here at Critical Bench. We are a fitness and health company that puts out easy to use, easy to implement strategies and routines and flows that people can adopt and do forever, or at least for a particular amount of time to get over a hump. And yeah, once your knees are feeling good again, maybe you get back to jogging. Maybe you get back to doing the leg press at the YMCA, right? Maybe you get back to playing tennis or pickleball with your friends or bowling or whatever it is, because you haven't been able to do those things that are fun and make life better because your knees are hurting or your knees are stopping you or your knees are, you know, you feel unstable. And it's frustrating. I don't know anybody that wants knee pain, or right? I mean, if you're dealing with it, this is the way to get out of it. This is the way to combat that without having to throw thousands and thousands of dollars at it by going to a physical therapist. Not to say that those might not be, if you have a trauma, you probably should go to therapy. You know, if you got a trauma, like, let's not sell people on the fact that, like, this is, like you said earlier, this isn't the fix for everybody's needs. It depends on where you're at. If you have a major issue, you got to go contend with that first.
And what's awesome is, even in the handbook, I kind of dive into that a little bit, and I let you know, like, listen, there are other options too. Like, if you're having problems, like, you can go here, you can go to a chiropractor, you can go to a physical therapist, you can go to an orthopedic doctor. There's other places. Like, it, like, I wanted to give you the tools to really feel better and know where to go and make you feel that, you know, you're not alone. There are, that people have been in your shoes, they fixed themselves, you just can't give up, and you got to keep going.
Yeah. The people that I worked with in my years working face-to-face with men and women, a lot of the time over the age of 55, they would light up when they got over those things holding them back from doing the things they enjoyed. Even if it was just going for a walk every morning. Or like, I worked at for a period of years, I managed a tennis and fitness center. And so I was around a lot of men and women, retirement age, who were exercising in the gym to be able to help them move on the tennis court, right? Because tennis brought them joy. They enjoyed being, you know, that competitive fun in, you know, those moments that, listen, we never lose that kid inside of us. We never do. We might close it off or shut it down, but we don't ever lose it entirely. And so I just encourage all those people listening who are maybe a little bit older and not moving as much or not doing the stuff that brought them joy and fun when they were younger, do a program like this because you can bring those moments back. I had neighbors I've talked about in the past on the podcast a few times. When I was in college living with my brothers and one of our childhood friends, the four of us lived together in a house off campus, and we had the best neighbors. And the one neighbors were Ed and T, short for Teresa. They'd been married for over 60 years, and almost every day of the week, they would go and play tennis together at the local tennis court down the road. And you could just see how much joy it brought them to still be getting out and moving on the, and they were nice players. I mean, really amazing for people that were in their 80s to still be out there hitting the ball back and forth to each other. It was just wonderful to see, and they were just, they had a contentment about them and a joy about them that you don't see in some folks because they don't move like they once did. But I'm telling you, movement is everything, man.
Movement is everything. And, you know, like what you said, that goes into the why. Why are you doing these things? Why are you doing things? Why are you going to the doctor? It's not just to get better. It's to reclaim what you want in life, what you want to do outside. You want to walk the dog. You want to go do things like that. So I think that goes into the why. You need to ask yourself, why are you doing it? And when you have those parameters and you could say, listen, I'm going to do this for this, you become a new person. You become a superhero because you have a mission and you have a goal and it's going to come true.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. It's been so much fun to kind of put all this together and have you be part of it as a content contributor for a while for us. I mean, if you want to see Chris a little bit more, go check him out on the Critical Bench YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in Critical Bench. He's been in a lot of video content this past year. In 2023, I think is when we really got you going on the channel. But anything that's written inside any video description for the last, what, year and a half or so has been written by Chris. So he does a lot of writing and other blog articles and stuff, utilizing his skill set and his experience. And he actually is quite good at writing. I don't know that you ever considered yourself a writer, but your personality comes through in your writing. And I think it's entertaining and informative and fun to read. And so the handbook that comes with Ageless Knees is all that and more. And this program will no doubt help you. People can go who are interested to agelessknees.com. Pretty easy. A-G-E-L-E-S-S knees, K-N-E-E-S.com. Agelessknees.com. And you can learn a lot more about this program and certainly, It's helped thousands of people already, and it's a wonderful, it's just good to know. And I know it makes you feel good, as we've said, that you're helping more than just the person in front of you. You're now helping thousands of people globally that you will probably never meet or know, but that was, and this is kind of a first for you. I've been having these moments and these feelings for like a decade now myself, being here at Critical Bench, putting this goodness out into the world and affect, really affecting people in a way that goes beyond what I was able to do, you know, in the gym setting. And so I know that that has a real, has a cool kind of a, gives you a kind of a cool buzz, doesn't it?
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's funny to go off what you said about writing is when I was in school, I hated writing. I really didn't like to write. And I think it's because I was writing about things I really didn't care about. Yeah. I know it sounds crazy, but like when you're asking me to do some sort of English literature thing, I really don't care. But when you're asking me to help people and write about the things that I love, and yeah. even in the YouTube descriptions and the comments and the blog articles and stuff like that, I love what I'm talking about and I truly believe in what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that that really helps when you're writing, because then you can really put your ideas and your passion down on paper. So I definitely agree. And it's awesome. Now, my goal was to help a lot of people. Now, really helping a lot of people.
I know.
And it's cool that making the YouTube videos. And, you know, I've actually helped a few people. It's funny when in the gym, if I'm working out and somebody's going, oh, yeah. How do you work out your shoulders? You know, oh, well, let me send you a quick YouTube link that you can go to Critical Bench YouTube channel and I can send you my video on shoulders. So, you know, if you need help, I got shoulders. We can do shoulders, knees. I got you. So I'm here. I'm not going anywhere yet.
Have any of the kids gotten a kick out of or given you feedback the fact that like you're basically a YouTuber, or the fact that like you're in videos? Like, are they, or they don't really, you don't really talk about it, or?
A few of them do. A few of them have laughed. I think it gives me a little bit of street cred.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It makes me a little bit cooler than the average adult, I think, because I'm online and doing stuff like that.
Right.
But no, I think all the support that I get is super positive. I know we didn't really touch on it, but I do a lot of, you know, bodybuilding, powerlifting type stuff too. So, you know, when you mix all that in with the therapy and the rehabilitation, really I've become on campus as, you know, the injury, weightlifting, fitness guy. And I think that's really kind of what I've modeled my life after. So I'll take it. I'll take it any day.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. As I said, go follow Critical Bench on YouTube. You could see more of Chris. Look up, you know, anything over the past year plus. What's your Instagram again, Chris, so that people can follow you?
Instagram at ESPN The Ocho. You can find me. I post some fitness things. I post a lot of beekeeper stuff. I'm also an amateur beekeeper that, you know, I'm just doing it all. You know, I'm trying new things. Yeah. So it's fun. You can check me out.
I can attest to that. I had his honey and it was delish.
They all say. That's what they all say.
It's great, man.
We're working on having honey for next year. So hopefully maybe it'll be for sale. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your passion for helping people and all of your knowledge with the Angelus & Knees program. No doubt people will go and check it out, and it will really help them on their journey to recovery, to feeling better, to moving more in life. And that's what we want. That's all that we want. We want you to be strong in body, mind, and spirit. And so it's been just a blessing to have Chris on the show. Thank you, Chris, for making time today. Listeners, you know, just another great episode talking about our passions here for helping others to live a life that is strong by design. You are created strong by design by your creator. And then we are called really to move more in life and to make those decisions and take those action steps every day to live a life that's strong by design, right? So it's just a joy to have this show, and we thank you for listening and for coming back for more. Hit that 5 stars, leave us a review if you could, and please share this conversation. No doubt there's someone you know in your life who needs to know about this Ageless Knees program, so please share it with them now. We thank you for that. We'll be back next week as always. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.